This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Separation and divorce used to be in the world before, but now it's so rampant, not only in the church, but among ministers of the gospel. So you come out today, introduce somebody, your sugar, your honey, your sweetie, your love, and everything. Then, few Sundays after, you come with somebody else. It is not so in this family tree. And it is not your portion. Amen. Can I hear louder? Amen. Amen. If anyone is already caught in this web, grace to mend the fence is released in Jesus' name. In scriptures, we find out very clearly that the apostles led their wives about. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. Peter, a man of depth and revelation, his house was conducive for Jesus during his ministry. And so his family members were partakers, including Peter's mother-in-law. Beneficiaries of the ministry of Jesus Christ. How about Noah? In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. The whole world destroyed with the flood, except Noah and his entire family. No matter the evil in the world today, you and your family shall be exempted. Amen. Let me hear, believe in amen. Amen. How about Eli? In the Bible, sad story. Minister of the gospel, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. His children did not walk in the way of the Lord. And so, the end was very devastating. A minister of the gospel. The end was so devastating. He died a death that was so shameful. We all know the story. We preach about it. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. How about Samuel, a prophet that the Bible tells us none of his word fell to the ground? But because his children did not walk in the way of the Lord, they went to him, "Give us a king, because your children are not walking in the ways of God." Too late. By the grace of God, for everyone under the sound of my voice today, it shall not be too late for us. Amen. Can I hear louder? Amen. Amen. Very importantly, and I want to make this statement with every sense of responsibility, and that's the fact that success in ministry can be tasteless and frustrating without a healthy family. I take that again. Success in ministry can be tasteless and frustrating without a healthy family. I read a biography of a great man of God in this great nation. Very powerful, very anointed man of God. But he had a very, very, very unhealthy family life. At the end of the day, his life was cut short. He didn't live too long. Probably. And who knows? This was one of the reasons. You will live long. Amen. Let me hear your loud amen. I said, you will live long. Go. Please tap your neighbor. Tell me, you shall live long. And in case there's anyone under the sound of my voice right now, I don't know who I'm speaking to, that is being tormented by the spirit of the fear of death. I curse it right now in your life. And I decree your total freedom and liberty. And I decree and declare to you, you shall not die. You will live and declare the works of the Lord. Can I hear louder? Amen.
Amen.
Our covenant fathers showed us the way. The great man of God, Kenneth Hagin, he had a stable home front. He's one of our covenant fathers. And of course, even when he was on the road, most of the times, he kept his family close together through the word of God and the reading of scriptures and prayers. How about great man of God, Billy Graham, enjoyed a stable family life with his greatness, with his popularity. In his days, he held on and ensured that his family was put together. Your own testimony shall be stronger.
Amen.
Can I hear you louder? Amen.
Amen.
I said, your own testimony shall be stronger.
Amen.
No matter how good your family life is right now, it can be better and it shall be better.
Amen.
No matter how better it is right now, it will be best.
Amen.
And no matter how best it is right now, it will continue to perfection.
Amen.
Can I hear loud? Amen.
Amen.
So, whatever the stage it may be, next levels is available. And we are getting there. By the time each of us return from here, we'll begin to enjoy a healthier family life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can I hear loud? Amen.
Amen.
So to enjoy next levels in ministry, you and I need a healthy family. And being a minister of the gospel is not an excuse for your family to suffer. Your families will not suffer in Jesus' name. What is a healthy family? No assumption. It is one that is run the same way Christ rules the church. It is run the same way Christ rules the church. Where the needs of every member, spiritual, emotional, and physical, are adequately met. Now, I want to share with us briefly three of the keys to a healthy family. Three keys to a healthy family, so we can keep enjoying. Next level, key number one, go for knowledge. Say it, knowledge. We've heard so much about this from the first night. So much again yesterday. And I want to reiterate the fact that, like God's servant said to us on the first night, there is no substitute for knowledge in the adventure of life. No substitute. Daniel 11:32. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Luke 11:52. The Bible refers to knowledge as the key. And please understand me, knowledge is not a gift. It's a choice. And it has to be acquired. And no matter your anointing and my anointing, if we are not knowledgeable about the principles of God for a healthy family, there is no way to enjoy it. Many of us preach at wedding ceremonies. We counsel people concerning marriage and family life. But the question is, how much of it are we applying to ourselves in our own family, in our own marriage? This is a question for us to answer. Where can I get this knowledge from? Briefly, one, you get it from the Bible, the Word of God. God's Word is a knowledge bank. The Bible. The Bible. Say it with me, the Bible. The Bible is a knowledge bank for building a healthy family. That's why in John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 39, the Bible tells us, search the scriptures. By the grace of God, these are the things that have helped and has kept on helping us in our own marriage, in our own family, and many, many others. I made time to sit down to read from the Bible. Everywhere where you find the word family, home, house, household, household of, marriage, and the like. and find out what the word of God says about this. Knowledge, they say, is power. So we find this knowledge in the Bible primarily, which is the word of God. And secondly, we can acquire this knowledge from materials of proven authors. Materials of proven authors, whether in print form or electronic form. And thank God these days we have access to the internet. Several materials are available and at our disposal. However, it's important for us to be selective in what you read. Make sure you read from proven authors. Years ago, I made time to sit down and look for and search for proven authors in the area of family that have testimonies to match. Our covenant fathers, Kenneth E. Hagin, materials from him, such as the house that God built, he wrote a book on that with Kenneth Hagin Jr. Materials from Oral Roberts and Evelyn Roberts about how they ran their family. Materials from T.L. Osborne. Materials from Oswald J. Smith. Materials from great men of God. And I can never forget this book titled Holy Wisdom for Happy Homes by Jack Hayford. That book set fire in my bones and made me to begin to take steps in the right direction, to begin to make investment into the future of my marriage and my family. And what a joy today. The fruits are here for all to see. Your own testimony shall be stronger. Amen. Can I hear louder? Amen? Amen. I said, your own testimony shall be stronger. Amen. Benjamin Franklin said, and I want to quote, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. An investment in knowledge pays what? The best interest. So let's go for it. So we get this knowledge from the Bible. Two, from materials of proven authors. Three, from observation. Personally, I observe things a lot more than I talk. Observation. I can never forget, many years ago, we went to Benin City and we were in the service with the great apostle Benson Idahosa, a name I can never forget in my life. I looked around the sanctuary that day and I saw a hanging, and that has left an impression on me. He says, it is better to train a child than to repair an adult. I can never forget. I began to take steps. It is better to train a child than to repair an adult. Please write it down. Many of us have children that are very young. Many others, children that are just growing up. Let's get back home and put this to work. A dry fish is very difficult to bend. Do I have a witness in the house? If ever you can bend it, most likely you will break it. It is better. It is better. Say me, it is better. Say it louder, please. It is better. Therefore, let's keep observing. And finally, number four way to get this knowledge is through counseling. If you know that there are specific cases in your life, in your marriage, in your family, you are looking for answers to, please don't keep quiet. We heard it announced yesterday and the day before. You need a one-on-one touch or counsel. We have been told what to do. I've always told people, and this is very important, when you share a problem, it is half solved. But if you keep quiet with the problem, it will continue to magnify itself. None of us shall be destroyed in Jesus' name. However, we must understand that a healthy family is dependent on adherence to scriptural principles. The future of your family depends on how you adhere to the principles of scripture. Family failure is knowledge failure. Don't just gather knowledge. We have been told, let's go ahead and put it to work. We shall make it in Jesus' name. I said, we shall make it in Jesus' name. Number two, key is commitment. Get committed. Number one is to go for knowledge. Number two is to get committed. Just as ministry demands commitment, in the same way, your marriage and family life demands commitment for it to be healthy. What is commitment? It is a state of being dedicated to the well-being and robustness of your family. Being dedicated to the well-being and robustness of your family. And this has to be done deliberately. You have to be intentional about it. It's not something that will happen on its own. We don't wait for it. It's a choice that we have to make. To be committed. Many of us are committed to preaching, to talking to other people, but we are not committed to our marriage and the family that God has put us over as ministers of the gospel. Commitment requires giving your time, energy, and the like to build a healthy family. It's not a gift. It's something we have to work at. And what a spinal cord is to the human body is what commitment is to the health of your family. Without a healthy spinal cord, a body will be paralyzed. Isn't it so? In the same vein, without commitment, a family or a marriage will not function effectively. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Tell me, I shall be committed. Can you say louder, please? Say, believe in amen. Amen. You know, those vows that you made with your spouse on your wedding day, they are part of the things that shows us we must get back home and get committed. It is the adhesive, commitment is the adhesive that holds a marriage and family together. And that's why when commitment is lacking in a home, the chances of that marriage and family surviving is very, very slim. Somebody may ask, commitment to what? One, commitment to the well-being of your family members. And this can be done, one, by being committed spiritually. Your family members, your spouse, your children, those who live under your rule, what is their spiritual status? Are they born again? Are they saved? How are they growing spiritually? Do they really love God the way you do? Do they study the word? Do they pray? Do they have character? These and many more are the questions we need to get back home and answer. Commitment to the well-being spiritually of your family members. For instance, many of us, we don't have our spouses right here in this meeting. And I know that many people, it's for genuine reasons, probably children are in school or something. But if you are really committed to the spiritual life of your spouse, one of the things you will make sure you do is that the teachings in this conference, your spouse has access to read, to listen to them, and put them to work. And you to get back home and share some of these things with them. That is showing that you are committed spiritually to the well-being of your family members. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
Number two, commitment emotionally. Be committed to their mental development. Be kind. Don't just be kind to your church members. Be kind to the members of your family. Don't be generous to people outside and be stingy at home. Don't come out in the open and make people laugh and smile and demonstrate your sense of humor. But once you leave and you get back home, it's another person entirely. Let's refuse to join the company of chameleons who come out in the open as ministers of the gospel like a show, and then we get back home completely different individuals. That shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. Can I hear louder? Amen. I said that shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. Don't be irritable to your family members and be kind in the open. Don't be respectful in the open and be disrespectful to your family members. The grace of God to help us in this direction is released in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then thirdly, physically and materially, be committed. Be committed to the welfare of your family members. Don't deprive them of the basic necessities of life. Don't. Make available to them at your own level what you can afford. And please, let's remember to always cut our coat according to our what? Cloth. Don't say because somebody else is doing this and sending his or her children to so-and-so school, I have to do the same thing. We are not competing. You are unique and so are your children. There's no need going to borrow money for school fees, for God's sake. After graduation, the child now begins to pay back the debt. That will not be your portion. Say, make commitment. And we have several examples in scriptures. Ruth, for instance, was so committed to her mother-in-law. And thank God, he paid off for her at the end of the day. She came in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody's story is changing. Zechariah was committed to his wife Elizabeth, even though they didn't have a child till their old age. But thank God, their commitment paid off for them at the end of the day. They had their child. In case you are here today, believing God as a minister of the gospel for the fruit of the womb, don't lose hope, because there is no closed case with God. God will settle you.
Amen.
Can I hear louder? Amen.
Amen.
And you will testify.
Amen.
Say me, I shall testify. How about Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible? They showed their commitment to the work of God. And then, of course, it paid them off at the end of the day. So commitment, one, to the well-being of your family members. And then two, commitment to the marriage institution. Daniel 11:32. The Bible says very clearly in the first part of it, Daniel 11:32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Commitment to the marriage institution is very critical. We must remember the institution of marriage was set up and ordained by God. The individuals in that marriage are not perfect, just like you and I are not perfect. However, the institution of marriage in itself is perfect. So when you disregard scriptural principles, you are not just doing so against your spouse, you are doing so against the institution of marriage. And that's where the problem comes. But the grace of God for us to be obedient in this way is being released afresh in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can I hear louder? Amen.
Amen.
And finally, Key number three, keep sowing into your marriage. Keep sowing into your marriage. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Please understand that sowing and reaping are universal laws of nature. And this law applies to family life as well. So, marriage and family is a kind of a garden. It's a garden. And what you reap determines what you sow. What kind of seed, therefore, am I expected to be sowing to my marriage and family? Basically, two types of seed. Spiritual seed. We talked about that a while ago. Spiritual seed. You pray for family members. You pray for church members. Do you remember to pray for your family members? You counsel your church members. Do you counsel your family members at home when they require salt? You show love and spiritual concern for your family, for your church members. But you do the same thing back home. Spiritual seeds. Spiritual seeds. Very, very crucial and important. Get books. Get materials. When our children were growing up, they had books that they had to read per month, depending on their ages at that point in time. And learning how to make them grow in the things of God and in the things of the kingdom. Sowing spiritual seeds. Then at Rajoba on Sunday evenings, everybody knew. Services had closed. Everyone had gone home. All of us will enter into the bus to avoid distraction. We get to the last floor of one of the buildings. And then we begin to share. We begin to read. We begin to ask questions. And what a joy today. It's paying off. It's paying off. Sow spiritual seed. It may not be convenient, but the harvest is guaranteed. Your testimony shall be stronger. Can I hear louder? Amen?
Amen.
And then also, finally, sow practical seeds of character, of kindness. Nurture your relationship. Ensure that your family members grow in character, in behavior, in attitude. In our home, when all our children were there, you were not permitted to do what you like. You had to do what is right. Ministers of the gospel are expected to administer character. Ensure that your family members live in the ways of God. And as we do so, they become worthy examples for others to see. For each one of us, our tomorrow shall be greater than today.
Amen.
Can I hear louder? Amen.
Amen.
I say, our tomorrow shall be greater than today.
Amen.
I know, in closing, there is so much demand on your time and on your attention. But remember, you can schedule it. Make priority of your family members, so you can build a healthy marriage. Healthy families, I've come to discover, they don't find the time to be together. They make the time to be together. You won't find it. You have to make it. You have to make it. And grace from this moment to begin to make it, release unto us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A healthy marriage can produce, and this is my drive right now. A healthy marriage can produce generations of healthy descendants. That's what I'm after. That's my focus. That's my goal. A healthy marriage can produce generations of healthy descendants, and vice versa. May that be our testimony. Thank God, God has given us children biologically that are living proofs that the word of God works, and you can enjoy a healthy family, and they also are raising children after that order. I am looking forward to generations and descendants in that order. Your own too shall be there. In case anyone is here today with any kind of challenge in your marriage and your family, as you have heard this word today, I speak peace to your marriage. And I decree and declare that every storm in your marriage and your family life be over. In conclusion, never forget, next levels will remain a daydream in ministry without a healthy marriage. The light that shines farthest shines brightest as it breathes. I stand here, therefore, to give glory to God. After 40 years of marriage, the word of God has proved to be more than enough. It's working for us in our own marriage and family. It will work for you much more. I said, it will work for you much more. I said, it will work for you much more. That grace is available in this house, and you are here in this house. It is yours for take. Say me, I take it. I receive it. It's my portion. Say loud, amen. Rise up on your feet right now if you receive it. And lift up your voice to God. Raise up your hand to God and say, I receive that grace for a healthy family, for next levels in ministry. Someone is praying that prayer to God right now with your hand lifted up to God. Say after me, Heavenly Father, louder, Heavenly Father, I receive the grace to build a healthy family life. So help me God. Shout the Lord, amen. As you have declared it, so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.